have your Bibles, we'll turn to 2 Peter in chapter 1. 2 Peter and chapter 1. The text is found in the verse 11 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the theme here, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Let's lay in our hearts for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the spirit of praise and of singing that has arisen from the hearts of your people. We're glad of this great hope, Lord, that many has in their heart, that they shall see thee face to face and tell that story, saved by grace. What a wonderful and a great Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now for help to preach thy word. We pray that thy word will find a resting place in the hearts of all of this congregation. Encourage your people. Speak to those who's not saved and who's amongst us as well. And draw them to the Lord Jesus. We pray now for help in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter 1 verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it, as we read the Word of God, that heaven is the home of all of God's people. The Lord has saved us by His grace. He has washed us in Christ's blood. And one day He will call each and all of His children from this old world, and He will place us in His eternal kingdom. The idea of God's people going to heaven is not a fantasy. Friends, it is a fact. And all throughout the Word of God, we are reminded time and time and time again that we have a home in heaven. You can think of the words of Christ. Remember He said in Luke 10, verse 20, to the disciples who came back, who were full of themselves, what they had seen, great miracles have been wrought by their hands, and He says, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And He was reminding them, here's where your joy should be. Here's why then you should be rejoicing, because you are going to heaven. And you can think of the Apostle Paul. Many times the Apostle Paul spoke of heaven. He said there in Colossians 1 verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And Peter here himself in 2 Peter 1, 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, he said the words to the people, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now there are many, many other instances in the Bible where it reminds us that this world is not our home. It reminds us that all of God's people are going to heaven. We are going to our inheritance, which is reserved in heaven for you. Did the hymn writer write those words? There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Yes, heaven is a fact. But in our passage that we've read together, our text is not about heaven, but it's a text about entering into the kingdom of heaven. Because He says in verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now before this, Peter was writing to this people, and he was saying in a sense, well, examine yourselves. Make your calling and election sure. He reminded them earlier on in this passage to add certain things to their faith in their Christian living. And he says, well, if you do these things, ye shall never fail. And then he tells them that one day you shall enter into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The saints go marching in, entering into the kingdom of heaven. In Revelation 22, verse 14, It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And so our text is not proving the fact there is a place called heaven. Our text here this morning is talking about, well, entering into heaven. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the picture in here that's brought before us is the saints of God marching, entering into heaven. When the saints go marching in. One day, child of God, every one of us here will enter into heaven. This is what Peter is saying. This is what the Bible here is speaking to us. Entering into God's everlasting kingdom. I want to say first of all about this entering into the kingdom. I want to think about the time of this entrance. When does the child of God get the privilege of entering into God's everlasting kingdom? Because in this world we struggle, we fight against sin, the world, and the devil. Well, when does this glorious moment arrive for the child of God that they will enter into God's everlasting kingdom? Well, the Bible gives the answer. The Bible tells us when the child of God dies, they'll enter into God's everlasting kingdom. That moment when the hand of death will be laid upon them, take them out of this scene of time, take them, friends, away from their family, take them away from their homes, that time when they die, the Bible says, they shall enter into God's everlasting kingdom. We find that in Psalm 23, and Noah can deal with life. But the psalmist talks about in verse 4, Psalm 23, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we can put the picture of death here, of dying. And the psalmist is going through the valley of the shadow of death. And he says here, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And he says in the verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now before this, the psalmist, he's going through the valley of the shadow of death. And he says, I will fear no evil. And when we come to the end of this psalm, he's in the house of the Lord forever. We can say in a sense, friend, he's in the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us himself in Philippians 1 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why was dying gain? Well, the reason is he would enter into the kingdom. And in verse 23 of that chapter, he says, for I am a state betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, when would he be with Christ? When would he be in God's everlasting kingdom? When he departed. Friends, when he died. That's the teaching of the Bible. These verses alone teach us that death is not the end for God's children. No, rather, when they die, as soon as they close their eyes in death, they enter into God's everlasting kingdom. That's the time of this entrance. Now I know there are some cults, I think of Seventh-day Adventists, they believe in soul sleep. They believe when you die, you go to the grave. And that's it, you sleep until resurrection day. And there's no entrance. No entrance into glory. One writer has said that death is one of silence and activity. Between death and resurrection, the dead sleep. And what they teach their people, well, you die and you go to the grave. And you may be in the grave, well, for thousands of years. Before you enter into God's everlasting kingdom. Now, that may be true of the body. But friends, it is not true of the soul. The Bible does speak about those who sleep in Jesus. But that's the body. That's this whole human frame that falls down into the dust. It will lie in the grave. It will sleep, dear friends, until the day of resurrection. But the Bible tells us, When the child of God dies, his soul will enter into God's everlasting kingdom. That's the time of his entrance, friends. Why are we afraid to die? It is a doorway that will take us into God's everlasting kingdom. Richard Sibbes, the Puritan, says death is only a grim porter to let us into a stately palace. And that is true. And Peter here is writing about an entrance. And wherefore, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. And he's saying to this people, you shall enter into God's everlasting kingdom. And when we come to the Bible, we find here that the time of this entrance is when we die. It's when we die, friends, when we leave this scene of time. We enter into the kingdom. A good friend, Jarvis Lockhart, an elder of Auchnatoy, many of us knew him, died yesterday, killed on a tractor. But he's in the kingdom. He's in God's everlasting kingdom this morning. My dear friend, when I come to die, the child of God, when you come to die, this text here that Peter writes about entering God's everlasting kingdom, you will enter in. When the saints go marching in, when you die, you'll go into heaven at the time of your death. There's another time, of course, and in this, not everyone will see death. The sentence of death is placed upon all men. That's the teaching of the Bible. But not every one of us will die. That's the teaching of the Word of God. Some will be alive when the Lord Jesus comes back. But it tells us here in Matthew 25 about when the Lord Jesus comes back, he's going to separate all nations. Everyone's going to be gathered before him. He's going to get the sheep and the goats. The goats, the unsaved, placed on his left hand, and the sheep on his right. And here's what he says unto his people on that day. In Matthew 25 and verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And here is the Lord saying to his people, enter into the kingdom. Come my blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom. This is the time of this entrance. Some will enter in, dear friends, at death, and others will have to wait until Christ comes. But the great truth is, we're entering into the kingdom. One day he'll take me by the hand, and he'll bring me into the promised land. That's the teaching of the Word of God, friends. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. And Peter is saying, you will be brought into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, child of God, are you not rejoicing today that you're saved? That your sins are forgiven? You've got a home in heaven, and one day, very, very soon, you'll enter into God's everlasting kingdom. How do we know this congregation is a large congregation? How do we know by this time next week there could be some member who's saved and you've entered in? By this time next week may happen, I don't know. Maybe before the end of the year. But you know what happens all the time. Death comes to our congregation. And for some, maybe very, very soon, you'll enter into the kingdom when you die. He'll take you by the hand, friends. He'll bring you into his promised land. That's the time of this entrance. I want to think about the thrill of this entrance. Now, I don't believe that my words will describe the thrill, the joy that God's child will get as he enters heaven for the first time. I don't think it. The thrill of this entrance will be, first of all, they will see the Savior in heaven. And I believe, friends, when I'm brought into this kingdom, and child of God, when you're brought into this kingdom, that the first person you will meet will be Christ. Now, what a thrill and joy that's going to be. For the majority of God's people, I have never seen Christ face to face. We've never seen him. He said that, remember, one time to Thomas in John 20, verse 29. Peter said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And the Lord speaks about the people. Well, they have believed in me, they have trusted me, but they have never seen me. And Peter himself wrote the words in 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, you love. And he said to him, you've never seen Christ, but you love him. Now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Peter said, well, you've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, on this day, God's people will be meeting Christ for the first time. And friends, what a thrill it'll be when you see Christ. The Lord of glory. The Lord who has loved us. The Lord who shed His blood, the Lord who said He would save us and bring us to heaven, by and by we'll see the King. The first one we'll see is Christ, I believe. Why do I say that? Well, over in the book of Acts, we read of a man being stoned to death, Stephen. Man persecuted for the faith, the first Christian martyr. It tells us there when he is dying in verse 56, they have stoned him. Verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's Acts 7 and the verse 55. But think about this. Stephen is going to die. He is soon to go through the door of death, and he looks up into heaven and he sees who? He sees Jesus. And he sees his Savior standing. He's not sitting, he's standing to welcome Stephen home, friends. You see, he saw Christ. He saw the Lord Jesus. I was speaking to a man the other day in the door-to-door work. He was telling me about his mother was saved. He was telling me that she lay for 2 weeks, never opened her eyes. And he says before she died, they're all around the bed, she opened her eyes. Remember, had opened her eyes for 2 weeks. And she said a few words, never spoke. And just he said, she just stirred up into the heavens. And you could see the joy and the sense in her eyes. She just stirred, and she was just taken up by some sight. And I immediately thought of this passage. Did you see Christ? I don't know. But she died, friends, and she saw him. You see, the thrill of entering into heaven, friends, is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. One writer has said that the light of heaven is the face of Jesus Christ. The joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus Christ. The melody of heaven is the name of Jesus Christ. The harmony of heaven is the praise of Jesus Christ. The theme of heaven is the work of Jesus Christ. The employment of heaven is the service of Jesus Christ. And the fullness of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And the thrill of entering into God's kingdom that we'll see our Savior. And I believe we'll see our Savior first of all. We were singing that. I want to see my Savior. What? First of all. The hymn says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that shall be. And that's what we were singing this morning. What a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. Oh, friends, the thrill of entering into God's kingdom. We will see our Savior in heaven. And what a day it'll be when you look upon Him, child of God, and realize His love, His promises, His word, and everything He said has come true, and you'll be with Him in heaven. What a thrill that'll be. Not only will we see the Savior in heaven, we'll see the splendor of heaven. What a thrill that'll be. What a glorious sight the child of God will see as he enters heaven. Revelations 21 gives us some illustrations of what heaven is really like. There are many mysteries, I have to say that. But there are some things we can say detailed for us. that gives a little taste of what heaven is like. And it says in the 12 gates were pearly gates. Every several gate was one of pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. Did you ever see that? Did you ever see the gates are made of pearls and the streets are made of gold? He talked about having no need of a sun in heaven or the moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it. See, what a glorious sight will befall the children of the Lord as they enter into God's kingdom. They'll see Him in all of His glory. They'll see the gold of heaven. They'll see the God of heaven. All the splendor of the kingdom, perhaps. You know what a day that will be. The story is told of a little girl out in the countryside for the first time. And she looked up and she saw the night sky. And she saw all the stars. And she said to her mum, "If it is so beautiful on the wrong side, what must it be like on the right side?" Now, how often we look up into a starry night and say, "Oh, isn't it beautiful? The night sky, the night scenes, it's beautiful." But remember, we're on the wrong side. What's it like on the other side, friends? The splendor of heaven. It is said we speak of His pathways of gold, His walls decked with jewels so rare, His wonders and pleasures untold. But what must it be to be there? Well, we can talk about the golden streets. We can talk about the jewels so rare. We can talk about His wonders. We can talk about His pleasures. But oh, what must it be to be there? What a thrill, friends, it will be. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, that hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." You know, my words can't say it, friends. The splendor of heaven. Entering God's everlasting kingdom. We'll see the Savior in heaven. We'll see, friends, the splendor and the glory of heaven. Ah, friends, we'll see the saints in heaven. How our hearts are filled with joy when we read about great men of God in the Bible, like Elijah and Moses and Joshua and Paul and Peter and John. I mean, go through all the great men of God in the Bible. And let me say this, when we get to heaven, we'll see them. We'll see all the saints in heaven. We'll be with them. You know what the Bible tells me in Matthew 8 and verse 11? "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now, these are the words of Christ. And He says many shall come, and they'll come from, well, the east and the west, and shall sit down. By themselves? No. Sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What a thrill that would be. To see the saints of God. To sit down with Abraham. Sit down with Isaac. Sit down with Jacob. Sit down with Moses. Sit down with Noah. Oh, friends, we shall see the saints in heaven that we find in the Word of God. But let me say this. What about the other saints we love? There are loved ones in the glory whose forms we often miss. We'll see them again. There are people in this congregation, their mother is in heaven. Their father is in heaven. There may be some and they have children and they are in heaven. Husbands and wives, whatever it may be. But what a thrill that'll be, friends, to meet them all again. There'll be reunions in heaven, you know. What a day it'll be. What a thrill, friends, to see loved ones and all that have went on before us. And we'll meet again. We'll meet on that beautiful shore, the hymn says. "I'll soon be at home over there, for the journey, end of my journey, I see. Many dear to my heart over there are watching and waiting for me." If loved ones are, friends. Oh, the thrill of heaven, friends. The thrill of entering God's kingdom. We'll see the saints. We'll see the saints of God there. The Spurgeon spoke of three wonders in heaven. The first wonder was that we should see so many there we did not expect to see. He said the second was that we should miss so many we did expect to see there. But here's a point I want to bring out. He said, but the third wonder would be the greatest wonder of all. To see ourselves there. And that's the greatest wonder, friends. When you stand in God's everlasting kingdom, and when He brings you into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, Spurgeon says, we'll look for people and we'll not see them. We'll see people we never thought would make it. But he said this, the greatest wonder, the greatest thrill, the greatest wonder of all would to be see yourself there. What a thrill that would be, friends. When the Lord brings us into the everlasting kingdom. I look around and say, I don't deserve to be in this place. I don't deserve Thy mercy, Lord. I do not deserve Thy love. I do not deserve, Lord, this. You see the thrill of entering God's kingdom. Death is swallowed up in victory. Brought into God's everlasting kingdom, friends. When the saints go marching in. All this before this, child of God. Let's turn our eyes upon Christ. And let's set our affections on things above, the Bible talks about. Let's get our eyes on the promise of God, on the palace of the Lord today, and realize that one day the Lord will take me to heaven. I'll be entered in through these gates. I'm going to heaven by His grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I see the Savior. I see the splendor. And there are saints in heaven that I love. I see them all. What a day it'll be then. We'll be entering into heaven. Can we speak about the triumph of this entrance? The triumph of this entrance, friend, you see that this place, this will take place in all of our lives. 1 Peter 1 verse 4, as I said, talks about a place reserved in heaven for you. And the triumph of this entrance will be this, that we have made it. And Peter here says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Now, there's no doubt about his words here. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. This is going to happen, he says. And it's going to happen to the smallest saint, speaking, or the largest saint, the greatest saint. This will happen to all of God's people. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. That's the triumph of his entrance. We've made it home, friends. We've made it home. And what a battle it has been, perhaps along the way. The flesh has been defeated. The old flesh has fought against us from the day we got saved. The old nature didn't like new management. Didn't like the fact that we give our lives to Christ. Galatians 5 verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And what a battle takes place within the hearts of every child of God. Tremendous battle. A fierce war takes place within their heart. And the old flesh, he wants to go one way, and the Spirit wants to go another way. And there's this continual conflict. Ah, but dear friends, when we enter into the kingdom, the battle's over. It's all over. And there have been times in the battle when the Christian has been exhausted. There's been times he has cried out in this warfare. But now it's all over when he enters into heaven. You see, the battle's over against the flesh. He enters in through the gates, friends. Some of God's people are lying in beds of sickness. And the old flesh, in a sense, is holding on to their soul. And as many of them we talked to, I would love to be home with the Lord. I'd love to be in heaven. But the old flesh, in a sense, seemingly is holding on to them. Ah, but dear friends, when they die and enter into this kingdom, the battle's over. It's all over now. There's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, friends. When you enter into the kingdom, the old devil is defeated as well. How he has fought against the child of God every inch of the way. In Ephesians 6 verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And notice he says, for we wrestle not against. He's talking here about every one of God's children. He's talking here about a conflict. He's talking here about a battle. He's talking here that we are to wrestle. Who with? We are wrestling with the devil. The devil, in a sense, he lays hold upon me, and I lay hold upon him, and there's this war and this conflict. Every step of the way, he opposes us. He fights against God's children. Fills our minds with doubts, with fears, with lies, with blasphemy. He opposes them. And all the spiritual wickedness, and all his helpers, and all of his demons. But oh, friends, when the child of God enters in through the gates, the battle's all over. The devil is left outside. You see, they've won the battle. And I can say that you may be opposed by the devil, and you are opposed, child of God. But when you go through those gates, the battle's over. The devil is defeated. Defeated by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we'll enter in through the gates, the triumph of this enter. We'll beat the devil. We'll beat the old flesh. And the world hated us as well. The Lord Jesus said in John 17, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And the Lord says, well, I have given them the word, and we've been saved, and we've had the word of God, and we have loved the word of God, and we have stood for the word of God, and the world, well, has hated us. You know what the world saith? They say, whatever make it. Don't they laugh at us? But they walk when we come to church. And they say, well, you're mad, those people with the Bible, those people with their hymn books singing, they're going to heaven. Ha! They laugh and they mock. But dear friends, when we enter in, we had the victory. They said we wouldn't make it. The devil said we wouldn't make it, didn't they? But when the saints go marching in, all the triumph, friends, of this entrance, the weakest saint will make it after all. Enter into God's everlasting kingdom, and we'll leave off the armor of God, and we'll not need it anymore. Oh, what a day, glorious day before the child of God, entering God's everlasting kingdom. Oh, dear friends, the triumph of that entrance. Every one of God's people here will be home. What a day it'll be. Maybe you're not saved. You can read in Luke 16, of one who died, he entered into hell. And that's a different sermon, isn't it? Died without Christ. Died in our sins and lost. And that will happen to you if you're not saved or unsaved. You don't come to Christ and don't repent, you'll be lost. You'll be lost for all eternity. Oh, that you would come to Christ today. Oh, that you would repent. Come to the Savior who loved us and will wash you even from all of your fault and all of your sins in his own precious blood. What a contrast. Child of God entered into the everlasting kingdom, and the sinner, he enters into hell. He's lost. But she's lost. Important to be saved. Be in time, friends. Be in time. Our friend Jarvis just didn't know he was going to die. But he was ready. Washed in the blood of a lamb. And friends, it can happen like this. Where would you enter when you die? Be in time. Come to Christ if you're not saved. As one writer says, heaven must be in thee before thou canst be in heaven. There's an element of truth of that. You must have Christ in your heart. You must be holy. You must be saved. You must have heaven in thee, in a sense, before thou canst be in heaven. Oh, come to Christ. And trust him today. Oh, child of God, rejoice that one day we'll enter into heaven. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going home to heaven. When the saints go marching in, whenever that'll be, they go in by ourselves, or we're going all together. But the saints, all will go marching in to God's everlasting kingdom. May God write His word upon all of our hearts. We're going to sing a couple of verses of 612 in closing. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come. And the chorus says 612. We'll stand to sing these two verses. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Let's sing it with all of our 612. Hearts in prayer, we do pray the Lord has spoken. Pray that God has encouraged His people. We pray for those who's not saved. The Lord has spoken to you, that you will be ready for that day when you leave this scene of time and come to Christ. You want to speak with us, Mr. Mercer? Glad to speak with you. Oh, settle this matter, where will you spend eternity? Even today in God's house. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank You for the Word of God that reminds us that we will enter into heaven. And one day the Lord Jesus will take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. And what a day, glorious day, that will be. We pray You bless each one of us now as we go our separate ways and take us, Lord, to our homes and safety. And be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.